Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Dee Hansen, the 2013 Cam Coupe champion, and you're listening to On Wheels Now with Mike, Gary, and JJ.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. I want to welcome all our new listeners and our regulars. We're broadcasting live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Hosting tonight, myself, Michael. I usually save myself for last, but we'll save the best for last. The one, the only, JJ Nunn.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Oh, just absolutely fantastic, man. I love the intro. Dee Hansen, yeah, the professional she is.
Well, he always cracks me up when that. He puts Russ Wilson on.
But Dee, that sounded great, man.
Yep, exactly.
That was good.
Great show, too, with Dee. So yep. We're going to have her on again, I guess, in the future. But, of course, the man always on a mission, Mr. Gary White.
How you guys doing?
We never know what mission. But,
oh, mission accomplished.
Not yet.
Mission
Not
accomplished.
Yet. Special guest tonight with us, Cecilia Dilly. Silly Dilly.
Right? Yep.
So how you doing?
Glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. I want to thank last week Justin Griffith for coming in and hanging out. Of course, he's staying in the chair with us tonight, just spinning and texting, you know.
Being a child he is.
Thanks for hanging out here with us tonight. We'll lean on you if we have some dead air. Put you on the wall of shame or something.
He's already there.
Oh, wait. There's no more room for him. All his parts are up there on the wall.
Yes.
Does Cecilia know about the wall of shame there?
No.
Oh, we'll explain it to you.
I'm
at the break, we'll give her a rundown.
There you go. So, yeah.
Justin's told her about just about everything else about the show except for the wall of shame over there.
The shame.
That's probably because he's on it. That's why he doesn't want to talk about it.
There you go.
You notice there's no one else on there.
We may rename it to Justin's Wall.
Justin's Wall, yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be more parts of Justin's up there.
Golly.
Ay, ay, ay.
Weird weather out there. It's I just can't believe it's 2 days away from 2014 Thanksgiving. Can you?
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Unbelievable.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Unbelievable how quick this year's gone by. Of course, you guys raced this past weekend. We'll get to some of that here coming up.
Oh, here you go.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Which is better, JJ's?
Hold on. And in here, it says JJ.
That's how I named it. That's how I named it. I labeled it JJ.
I was looking for it.
That was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Not bad. I don't even remember recording that.
And then you got Justin.
Hey, keep it down, Justin. Keep it down. Hey, and I was told we laughed too much. This is going to be a low-laugh show this week, okay?
Yeah.
So we can have some regular listeners not tune us out.
And then you got Tim. Let's not forget about Tim.
Is Tim still around? I haven't seen him. You guys kick him off your team or something?
And then you got Justin.
Right back to laughing.
I think, it's going to be a low-laugh show here tonight.
Tim's still around. I just want to thank him right off the bat for another fantastic season. JC Motorsports booked 22 races, and we only had 2 DNFs. That's it. And they were not mechanical failures. They were on-track incidences that took us out of the race. So I just want to say,
and of course,
again.
No fault of anybody at JC Motors.
No, we didn't take each other out.
No, okay,
we didn't take each other out. You know, I thank Gary.
It's never the racer's fault, by the way.
Thank Gary. It's you run a 22 race season, everybody who's a car owner, a driver, or a crew chief, two DNFs is huge. I feel it's huge in 22 races. I really do. You know, that's just working and the maintenance that's done on the cars by Gary and Tim. You know, I just think he needs to be thanked. That's all, along with Gary. It's hard. We're dealing with 36-year-old cars out here.
Tim Bell, there's the official thank you from JJ. You heard it here first before Gary, right? Am I?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey. So. No, that's good. It's true. You guys put a lot of you know, any team owner, like you said, or drivers put a lot of work into their cars.
Goes into the cars.
These things, whether it's asphalt or dirt.
I'm not handy with a wrench. I wash these things and I drive them.
And those are not washed.
No, they're not.
Wait till next season? Okay.
They're not. I got till January 3rd.
Now, how old did you say these cars were?
Mine's a 76.
So you're talking about, you know, you guys are horse racing.
You know, 24 and 14. They're 38 years old.
Right. You guys are talking about the bomber division, the division that you guys team and race.
It's 38 years old. It's taken quite a beating since it's come into our stable. You know, we've had two different drivers in it. It definitely took a beating this year. There's no doubt about that.
What wheelbase are you guys running again?
114.
And yours is
114.
14. Oh, it looks shorter.
No, the rule is 112. But
didn't you shorten yours? Isn't that? Oh, I'm sorry.
The only shortening we did.
The reason I'm asking is because we're going to get over here to Cecilia Daly here with us. She don't drive a car that's 114-inch wheelbase, does she?
No.
What kind of car? You want to tell us a little bit about what you race and a little bit about, you know, what that's all about and your wheelbase and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I run the dwarf car division, and our wheelbase, the rule says you got to be 73.5, give or take a half an inch.
Wow.
Because if you do shorten our cars, it makes it faster. I've tried shortening my car in prop one time just to be a little bit of a cheater to test it out. My car won't let me cheat. It will not shorten the bars or as far short as they can go to the rules. So, yeah, it's modeled after a 1934 Ford sedan. It's about fifth of the scale of the actual cars. With I have a Kawasaki ZX-10 in it, so it's a street bike motor. They get pretty going, especially on prop.
Yours is a ZX-10. What are the rules for the engine specs?
For the engines, you can either run anything from a 1,000cc to 1,200cc. We usually have a two-year rule on the motor. It has to be at least 2 years old. But since they're coming out with all these new motors that we're getting to almost 200 horsepower, we have to vote them in each year. Like, I know right now, I think the 09 Kawasaki is voted in, and the 2011 Suzuki are voted in. And so is the Honda for 2011, but that's as far as we've gotten so far because we're looking at there's power boxes that you can put on it to give it more horsepower. We're using velocity stacks and not stock air cleaners because you can't use a stock air cleaner to see. So we're looking at trying to keep it still to a safer speed because how small our cars are, if you do get in a wreck, we want to make sure you're safe in the car.
Right. I mean, obviously in any racing, you know, wrecks can be not only dangerous but deadly. Especially in your division, we'll get to kind of that. You know, there's some incidences here not that long ago. But a question that was brought up to me one time was, do you guys run fuel injection or carbureted cars, or do you do both?
We mostly run fuel injection now. We do have some old carburetors that come out and run. They don't think they can keep up, but it's your choice, whichever one you want. But I've seen people, especially down in Mojave on a big track, you wouldn't think those carburetor motors would last. He went out there and kicked our ass the whole time. So.
It's funny, Mojave's a big track because, you know, most people think like Mojave has a big track, but I guess especially with the smaller wheelbase, that track size does make a difference.
Yeah,
at 73
my dad
inches.
Used to always make a joke. You could eat a box lunch and down the back straightaway. You have so much time to the next corner.
I think these guys have tried it in their bombers because I know they've
hey.
And I know JJ's gone backwards to pick up scraps that he left behind.
Hey, yeah, I'm adjusting my mirror.
Well, you guys are not allowed mirrors. Let's not get into that.
He's in there.
Now, the rules that they have, is that specced year to year, something that did it ever change, or you guys voted in as, a, as
well,
an association?
Well, every year, December, like this year's December 5th, we meet up in Reno for the Western States Board meeting. That's where each club can bring up issues that we want to talk about this year. That's where we make all our rule changes. That's all made in December. So when everybody puts out their schedule in January, you can tell everybody, hey, these are the rules. This is what you have to have. Because if you want, we go by Western State rules. So if you want to go run the Nationals with them, that's where you're going to get teched on Thursday. And if you finish top 10 Friday and Saturday, we tech your car Friday and Saturday. And then if you finish top 10 at the end of the season, we even tear down your motor and check compression and all that at the first National.
So when you're saying Nationals, what do you mean by Nationals?
Nationals, we usually, a National in our sport is considered a three-day event. You'll have Thursday practice, racing Friday, Saturday. And we usually have 4 a year. Last year we had 3. We're going back to 4.
Wow.
And we're just going to different clubs. Like this year we're going up to Vernal, Utah for the Utah club up there. Then we're going to go to the next one will be SODCA, which is Southern Oregon. We'll go up to Oregon, either to Medford or Yreka, California, and run there. Then we go to Marysville every year in September, which is Northern California. And then this year they added CDCRA, which is going to be in October, and that's Southern California.
Wow.
So yeah, there you go. There's some mileage.
Yeah, the first year I started racing, like, full-time at the Nationals was 2008, and my dad got a brand-new 450 that year, and we put 20,000 miles on it, going to 4 Nationals, 4 Regionals, all the races in Pahrump, all the races in Tonopah, in one season, 20,000 miles.
Wow.
There you go.
And these guys are planning on doing this next year, so get yourself
a
450.
We did that in 2009, and we had a blast.
That's just getting there. You've got to think about all the laps I did in circles, too. That's more miles I did.
Have you ever calculated that to kind of get an idea?
Well, I know one time, my first year I went to Vernal, Utah, I loved the track. It's like a fishbowl. You never stop turning. And that old saying they used to say, you got to turn right to go left on dirt, that's where I learned it. You come down the front straightaway completely turned right because it's such a bank track. The first time I ever went there, I ran so many practice laps that I liked it. I ran out of fuel like 3 times.
Oh, wow.
They said
wow.
I did like 170 laps, so if you figure that at like a quarter mile, I put some good laps in.
Your hoax on the fence waving, hey, come in, come in. I'm staying out.
There's sometimes I went out there by myself because everybody's like, oh, we're done practicing for the day. I'm like, I'm not. Let's go.
Get some more day. Get more laps.
Time. And that was the first year in a car that was?
07 was my first year in the car.
07.
We didn't go to all the Nationals, and I 08 is when they introduced a new class, was called the Sportsman class we have now, which is you don't pay the fee usually for a National is $175 to run the pro or the vet class.
Right.
And the vets, you just got to be 55 or older. Well, when I first started, I had me and like 5 other 15-year-olds all starting out. We don't want to go out there and wreck people, so we're all thinking, oh, we shouldn't run the Nationals, so we created a class called the Sportsman class, which is for, we wanted to get more people out that want to start new. You can come to these big races where you learn more. I've learned more at Nationals than I have in Pahrump because there's so many faster people you got to chase down. And it's also for older cars. We were trying to bring the people that had the old oil cool motors or an old car that sat for 5 years, haven't raced it, come out and run ours. Ours was only $100 to run for 3 days. And we didn't get a payout back, but you got trophies and everything. We did a point system. You could be a champion at the end of the year. We just were trying to get more people to come out.
Excellent.
Cool. Yeah, that's good to have a sportsman-type class or something that just gets you into.
What got you into it? Your father, your brother? Tell us what started you into getting into racing.
When I was about 5, my grandpa bought a car off his neighbor. His neighbor was moving, just had the car sitting in the garage, never went out and ran it, just bought it, put it together, never ran it. So my grandpa's like, oh, we'll go out to Pahrump and run with them. First race I saw my grandpa run, it was like 20 cars out in Pahrump. That's how it used to be back in the day. And as soon as my dad helped my grandpa the first race, my dad went out 2 days later and bought a car. So since I was 5, I was always in the garage. I've always been a daddy's girl. I was there when he worked on the cars. I've been Pahrump, literally, I was 5. We always would go out to Pahrump at Mojave all the time. So I used to, it was funny, when I get in trouble as a kid, I wouldn't get grounded. I would just get told, you can't go racing.
Yep.
And that's
there you go.
Probably worse than anything.
I was going to say, sometimes that's worse.
Now you said you're 5, and I get condemned by these guys, and everybody else asking the question, how old are you?
I'm 21.
21.
Wow.
Yeah. And the funny thing is how I actually got to start racing is my dad was kind of iffy about putting me in a car because he's always thinking, hey, if something happens to you, I don't want anything bad to happen to you.
Right.
So
understandable.
I almost didn't make it into high school because I kind of goofed off back in eighth grade. So I passed with D's. And he's like, okay, so if you really want to race, let's see you get all A's. He didn't think I could do it. So my freshman year, first quarter came out, I had 5 A's and 1 B. And he's like, oh, crap, I got to go buy a car now.
Yep. Blackmail works.
You know, and really, and how many times have you heard that similar story where, you know what,
over
it's turned somebody around?
Yeah.
You know, we got Justin over here, bad kid, but look at him today.
No.
No, and in all seriousness,
his mom,
yeah,
still a bad kid.
Hey, my kid's 25, and he's still a bad kid. You know,
I understand.
In all seriousness, you know, it has helped a lot of families and helped, you know, a lot of teens and kids kind of have focus on something that keeps them
a
on.
Goal.
Yeah, a goal. Exactly. So, and it's fun to do. And it's
if you want to race, you got to do this.
Right.
There's nothing
that's
in the
right.
middle.
And it's got the danger factor involved, of course. Yeah. The adrenaline junkies here. So,
do you disagree at all?
Nope.
Dad did the right thing?
Dad did the right thing.
You did the
he
right thing?
He may still regret it a little bit now because he's like, he don't run. And he's always like, you really want to go racing again? Like, I know last year we did 12 weeks in a row of racing every weekend.
Wow.
And he's like, all right, I'm tired. We're taking a break. You can take a break.
What's your dad's name?
Mark Dealey.
Mark Dealey. Do you guys live in Henderson?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why didn't you tell him, hey, you can stay home. I'll take the truck.
That's what he's actually looking for now because we have that big 53-foot trailer. I don't want to tow it because there will be like 10 tow trucks behind me towing everybody that I crashed off the road. So he's actually looking to buy a smaller trailer. So like if I want to go to like more California races or travel a little bit more, see what's out there, he wants me to be able to pick up and go if I want since I'm older now.
Very good. Nice. Independence.
Yeah, kind
That's
of.
That's great.
You know, let you free and kind of pick your own races and so on.
Yeah, and I know the last couple of years, because he does AC, so during the summertime it's hard for him to leave Vegas. I've had a couple friends actually take me to Nationals and stuff, and I'm still getting used to him not being there because I can drive the hell out of that car, but when it comes to setting it up, I'm like, I have no clue what to do right now. So I'll call him about 10 times, run around the pits, ask everybody, call him back, be like, okay, they say to do this. Should I do this? Should I do that?
When you take other people's advice, what did you have you found out? Does it work or 50-50?
Actually, I do got to give my dad credit. He knew a lot about racing, but since I've been talking to more people, there are some stuff that works better than my dad, and then my dad is right sometimes. So I've been going back and forth trying new stuff, but it's starting to work out pretty good, I think.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen you out there racing, but every time I've seen you, I think you've actually always won. So I don't think I've seen you not win.
Show, I can tell
Didn't
you that.
Just win this past weekend?
Yeah, this weekend. This year I've only won 2 races, but that's because Derek's come out and ran with us. He's a great competitor. I run with him at Nationals. And finally, yeah, this weekend I got him coming out of turn two.
Wow. Now, when you're not running Nationals, are you only running in Pahrump at Pahrump Valley Speedway? Do you go to
Tonopah three or four times a year, especially for Butler days. We'll go up to Tonopah. That'll be the first race. And Mojave. We just started running back with Arizona Outlaws down in Mojave.
Okay. So they have a different association down there. Is that
it's still a part of Western States, but there's, I believe, 15 different clubs that are part of Western States.
Wow.
Do you have 1 points?
Well, good question, yeah.
Is it all 1 points?
Each club runs their own points for like the season, since you're going to run with your club more. So we'll have club champions, but when we go to Western States, usually you'll have 4 Nationals, and 3 out of the 4 will count for your best. And at the end of the year, we tally up who has the best points. And like this year, one of my friends, John Jones, actually won the championship. We'll do it each division. Back in the day, we could have regionals. Regionals are half the points of Nationals, so we'd actually count all 4 Nationals, and 2 regionals could replace, like, say you went to Nationals and broke. It could replace that. That's what we're trying to get back to. But, like, last year we only had 3 Nationals, so you pretty much hoped you didn't break or anything because it all counted. But we're starting to get back to the old ways, to where it'll be 3 Nationals and 2 regionals or 4 Nationals. That's where it's really fun, because then when you travel, you got those points, and Western States works with the clubs. So, like, if there's a national going on, there's no club races going on. But you don't have to worry, oh, I'm not going to win my club points, I'm not going to win this. We have a rule, actually. actually set in our rule book. If it's a regional or a nationals or any other Western States event, dwarf cars aren't supposed to be running at their lower tracks.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And that helps bring to the car count, too, because people are like, I really want to go racing this weekend. All right, let's go on the road and go.
That was one of my questions, was how many cars are you getting at these nationals?
Well, this year in Marysville, the last nationals in Marysville, California, was our biggest one, and we had 97 cars show up.
Holy crap. You're kidding me.
Unbelievable.
So pretty much what people said, back in the day, we actually used to race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, the dirt track. Back in the day, we had a nationals there. That was the biggest national we ever had. It was 117 cars.
So you stopped doing it. So everybody stopped doing it there.
Actually got stopped there because the guy that... I guess owns it or whatever, owns 600 Racing.
Right.
Everybody wanted to buy us instead of buy Legend Cars.
Right.
So after we showed up at the Nationals and had a great show, he was like, oh, I don't think you should run here. So.
Right.
But prompt, we've had like 90 cars out there too.
Wow.
Okay. And you only run the dirt. You don't run pavement with those.
No, actually, though, back in Colorado, my grandpa used to race. He hasn't raced the last couple of years. Colorado and Utah will do half a season on pavement, though.
Wow.
Especially, like, I know there's a track in Casper, Wyoming my grandpa went and ran. He says pavement is fun. The only thing tricky about it, he raced with dirt tires, and he said the only way he could get traction is he had to take 50 pounds of lead and bolt it right behind the front bumper to keep the front end down.
Oh. Otherwise, he was lifting it up in the turns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys have that much power with those tires.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, three-wheeling it on pavement, huh?
Yeah, well... I've been doing them prompt lately. I've been coming off four so hard.
Yes.
I can
yes, you have.
Look like a modified out there.
See, lifting that left front end up, that left wheel up, and a couple inches up off the ground and hauling ass down the straightaway.
That's crazy. They sound like a lot of fun. Hey, Jerry,
they're weird little cars, man.
What are you doing there? Texting?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
You got to keep them on track here, so... I think we're going to take a quick break. When we come back from break, we're going to have more with Miss Silly Dilly. Is that the name you prefer?
Yeah.
Silly Dilly. We'll get to that in a couple minutes here, and see you after the break.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers, too. So join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at onwheelsnow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart, your used or old vehicle, and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome back to On Wheels Now. And this is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and talk about local racing. We want to hear about your team and what they're doing. If you have a question for Miss Cecilia Dilly,
yeah,
otherwise
give her a call.
Known as Silly Dilly.
Give her a call. Give us a call, 702-685-8116. That's 702-685-8116. Got any questions about the Dwarfs? Got any questions for Cecilia Dilly? Give us a call. lines are open.
And it sounds like they really have, yeah, sounds like they really have their associations together. Like they've put a lot of thought into the way they're, you know, running things, how they're organizing the different tracks and point systems and all that. But, you know, one thing that always gets me is how do you get so many cars and teching them all and making them all kind of conform to the same rules. But each one of these 15 different, like whatever it is, how many ever different clubs they have, they all go fall under the same umbrella of the main association, is the Western.
Yeah, everybody, states. If you go to any tracks, mostly with door cars, besides I know Kane's Club down in Arizona runs street tires and they allow a bigger motor. Mostly, whoever part of Western States, their track rules, or you got to run Western States rules. And I think the reason why we've been such a great organization and can keep these people coming all the time is the one thing I love about dwarf car racing is I've gone to the Duel in the Desert, walked around the pits.
Yeah.
I've been to the World Outlaws, walked around the pits. Nobody talks to each other. Everybody's like, oh, we're against you, we're against you. If you come to a Nationals,
yeah,
everybody jokes around, mostly saying we're there to party and have fun. Racing's just a bonus. You could break your car on Friday night, roll it or whatever, and you'll have half the pits at your trailer trying to fix your car. We're all just one big family, and I call up drivers all the time from California and be like, I'm in Pahrump, car's not handling right, can you give me some tips? And they'll answer me real quick. So it's nice how everybody gets along. We're one big, huge racing family.
No, that's really good, you know, especially in a dwarf division. What does it take to get into, let's say, a dwarf car? Let's say I was out there and I decided, hey, I want to get into dwarf car racing. What do you think the steps should be for someone green, no matter what their age is, to get into something like that?
Well, I know we do have an age rule. You just got to be 14 to be able to get in the car.
Okay.
Some other tracks have age limits, so it all depends on the track. Our rule says 14. Mainly all you got to do is go out and buy a car. And if you bring a car out, people will help you set it up and figure it out. And I know I see cars all the time. New cars, a brand new car is probably like $20,000, so a lot of people won't want to go that way. I know my car cost $10,000, but that's because of who drove it, who won championships, wow, all the names on it. My dad's car is for sale right now for $7,500.
Wow.
There's other cars you can buy without the motor if you want to go get your own motor. I've seen them anywhere from like $2,000 to like $7,500,
okay,
for a race-ready car. It all depends on how old of car you want, newer car. Some people think a newer car, you'll win more races, but my dad's, when I first started racing, my dad gave me his old M&M, which was like, I want to say a 97 M&M. This thing was bent each way. Like, you couldn't put
right.
a stick on it and see where it's straight. The setup was completely backwards on the car because of how bent it was, but I went out there and won races. So it all, you just got to figure out how to drive the car. And it's, I know we've had some drivers go to IMCAs, go to super late models and stuff. They say a dwarf car is the most hardest thing to drive on dirt because of such a small car, small wheelbase. But once you figure that out, if you go hop into modified, you'll think you're on a Sunday drive.
Wow.
I mean,
it makes
it.
Sense. Yeah, you
yeah.
get something small wheelbase like that. You're
I believe it.
Constantly driving.
I mean, they're fast. We know they're small. They're fast, but to handle something that's like a skateboard on ice.
Yeah.
What's best description that you could give it?
Well, yeah. I know my biggest problem is we don't even run power steering. It's just a Quickener box.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's the hardest thing I had to get is the arm strength. There's, I know we have three other girls right now running in Western States, and you could tell when we're in the top 10, I know Hannah Mayhew and Casey Sheeler in Oregon, when we're running in the A main, you can tell towards the end if we start falling back,
oh.
we're just getting tired.
That's funny.
Arms get to hurt.
Yeah, and that's the one thing we have. You can add power steering in. That's in our rules, but so used to without it now. I don't
muscling a car.
Yeah.
Right. Realistically,
muscling a car.
Yeah. And that's what the first thing you got to really learn is to muscle that car. And you have more control of it than you think. So sometimes we spin out easily because you will overcorrect because you're used
too
to
much.
Driving in a regular car. And it's literally you sit here like this and maybe move a couple inches driving the car.
So wow. you constantly turn left, turn right. If you ever watch the wheels on these little cars, if you ever watch the dirt track, Pump Valley Speedway, or any other dirt track, you constantly see those front wheels going left, right, left,
They'll
right, left,
four
right,
or five
right.
Times getting that, going around the turn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Almost like you see the sprint cars and all that when they get out there.
I'm turning, I'm catching
right.
it, I'm turning, I'm catching it, I'm turning, and I'm catching it.
So I can see how strengths can build you're going to need that, you know, to really muscle a car like that. How many wins do you – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'd like to take a question back to December in Reno. Now, you have a number of clubs, and you're able to bring out, you said, voted-in motors, vote-in different stuff. Do the presidents and vice presidents represent up there in Reno, or is it the entire club where you can have 500 drivers show up?
You can if you want. It's an open meeting. If you're, like, say I'm just a driver, I can go and listen in if I want, but only the people that can talk at the meeting are the president. The president of your club, we just met a week ago to discuss, hey, maybe what we want to make a vote, because we already know throughout the Nationals, every Nationals, we have a Western States meeting. And so by the time it comes to the end of the season, we know the certain things we're voting on.
Right.
And then there is time that you can bring up something maybe you want to start talking about next year. But, like, I know this year right now we're voting on quick changes again because
right.
they want to go to the quick change. And then what was the other one?
Quick change is a good idea, I think, if you're
the
traveling.
The beadlocks.
Beadlocks.
We want to add a right side beadlock because we are getting a faster speed. And it's a thing about safety and money. People go out there, brand new tires, blow a right rear off, they're mad. And also, if you blow a right rear off going so hard in a corner, you can flip.
You're rolling it.
Yeah.
So you guys are not allowed beadlocks right
now? As of right now, we are not allowed beadlocks.
And as a safety issue, you want to add beadlocks because of the power that and the speeds that you're going now.
But we want to make sure that we can monitor it. Like, because I know they're trying to say if you run, like, you could run 3 pounds in it and have a built-up motor and be out there with a built-up motor ways. Because there's still ways we can't check the motor, but we're trying to get figuring out things on that. But if we voted in this year, it's supposed to be only the right rear, and it's supposed to be a minimum pressure of like 12 pounds.
Okay. So the presidents have to say, they come to the Nationals and come to the club, this is what's out here, what do you guys think? And then one president for each club then goes and represents.
Makes a vote
and nominates to put something forward, and then all the other club presidents vote on it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. I was just curious. You know, you mentioned voted in, and I was just wondering how the process took to get something done in the Western Nationals Association.
And I know at the meetings, too, most promoters at tracks will go up there to try to work with people that are having Nationals and add it to their schedules. And it makes it easier, too, when the promoters out there, they know the rules as soon as they go back to the track. So, say people that aren't completely in the club that still come out to run, the promoter already knows the rules when you show up to the track.
So they can have those changes put in place by the next, whatever the next starting
race
date
is. Before the next
season. Yeah, next season.
Now, there was one other thing. You guys put forth, when you come to Pahrump, say, you guys put forth your lineup. You give that to...
Yeah, when we run a points race, I do the points for Southern Nevada. So I'll do a pill draw because we have a $5 fee for pill draw. And that goes towards the end of the year, towards our banquet and towards awards and prize money for the point series. So I'll usually go around to all drivers, do a pill draw, and do the lineup. And how we normally do the lineup is just a simple pill draw, sets up your heat race, and then whoever wins the first heat race, we'll flip a coin for a head straight up main event. Tails, we completely invert the field just to mix it up sometimes.
Okay, so you never know.
Yep.
You never know.
So you can't go out there and be like, oh, I'm going to bog it because they're going to invert it. Like some tracks do inverts all the time. Like I know Tonopah, you go out there, win a heat, you'll be dead last in the main because they always invert. We like to mix it up, so you'll go out there and run your heat race competitively.
Well, sounds like you guys, you never know what's going to happen. If you're just joining us, we got Miss Silly Dilly here with us tonight, dwarf car racer out of Pahrump Valley Speedway in the West Coast out here, racing many different tracks. I want to welcome her to the show. You can call in if you like.
You got a question.
Definitely.
Give us a call, 702-685-8116. That's 702-685-8116.
And if you want to catch up on more local racing, you can go to thebombernation.com website. Click on the message boards. That's thebombernation.com. Check out the front page, all the fun pictures on there and stuff, or click on the message board. Somebody's talking about you. I know Justin's probably out there talking about somebody, so you want to go there and... Defend yourself.
That's a good question. Does the Dwarfs have a website?
I know Southern Nevada doesn't have a website right now. I do host the Facebook page. We have a Facebook page, which is the Southern Nevada Dwarf Car Association. But Western States is dwarfworld.com.
Dwarfworld.com.
Yeah,
okay.
And our Western States page is on there. And that's also M&M Chassis page, who is a builder out of Tracy, California. Frank and Jan Monroe own M&M Chassis, who built my car. And they're awesome people. They're like, I always say they're my other adopted parents. I have like 20 dads and 20 moms when I go racing.
If you could only get $5 from all 20 of your dads to go racing, right?
Oh, when I graduated from high school, I had plenty of money for everybody.
That's good to hear. So how old
is your car?
I think my car, I want to say it was built in 03 or 04. It was actually Ryan Cottrell's old car.
Okay.
I know some people know him from Prompt running.
Yes.
He ran that car in Prompt, went to Modified. He sold it to Kelly Gutches, who's come out to Prompt a few times up in Oregon. But in 08, in September, right before we were supposed to go to Marysville, we went and ran Prompt, and I actually went over the front tire of my dad's car and flipped my car. So I went to school Monday morning all upset because I'm like, I'm leading the points in the Sportsman Championship. I don't have a car. We're supposed to leave Wednesday. I'm sitting in my second period chemistry class. My phone rings. It goes to voicemail. I listen to it. And my dad's like, oh, you better be happy. I bought Ryan Cottrell's car for you.
Now, your dad has one for sale. Wasn't that a Cottrell car also, that 15X?
17X.
17X.
Jay Ewing's old car.
Ewing. That's it. I knew I recognized those cars. They also ran in Mojave quite a bit.
Yeah, there
was a number of, wasn't there two, three
yeah.
Cottrells?
It was Ryan Cottrell, his sister Renee, and Shauna Cottrell both
yes.
ran for a few years. And then there was Robert Ewing and Jay Ewing ran, and
right.
Jimmy Ewing ran too.
Right. They traveled. They were a pack. They traveled together.
Yeah, my dad would go with them a lot too. So I got to see a lot of different tracks too, following them and going with my dad.
Oh, very good. Your dad's car up for sale now?
Yeah.
I think I saw it. And that was Ryan's car also?
That was Jay Ewing's
Jay
car.
Jay Ewing's car.
Yeah. He bought it back when I actually got my grades back up. He bought Jay's car, and I thought it was going to be mine. So I was like, oh, yes, I watched his car race. And then he's like, no, you get the older car. What are you thinking?
Your grades weren't good enough.
Shame on you.
But then in the end, I think I got the better car because he's even gotten my car. And that car, Ryan raced it, Monster, Ronnie Williams raced it. Anybody who's ever gotten that car has won a race or won a championship. So that I love that car.
That's a little yellow number 4. I'm sorry. I keep on calling them little. They're dwarf. It's redundant. But compared to the boats that we drive, they're little.
CJ, you can attest to this. Age doesn't make it better. If it's younger, it doesn't.
That's right.
It's better.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. And that car just got new skins, actually, by Todd Dameron this year. He did an amazing job on my skins.
Now, is it hard to get body parts for those? Are there?
It's not really
source?
That hard. All we got to do is you go buy sheet metal, and we just have to cut them. That's the main biggest part is you got to cut them, and some people like to bend it so it has the curve where the roof goes. And then I know we got the new, like, flare hoods that come up and everything. So it's all – Todd Dameron had a bender and all that, so he literally spent a week doing my car for me.
But part of the rule is it has to look like, let's say, a 1920.
Yeah, it has to look like a 1934 Ford sedan, Vicky,
okay.
or delivery truck.
A pickup.
And,
okay.
Yeah, a pickup truck. There's pickup truck and there's like a delivery truck that I make fun of. I actually think they look like the old school pizza delivery trucks
yeah.
that show up. But the only other rule with that is I know since I have a sedan, any sedan-looking car, you have to have rear windows or like simulated windows. Like mine, I call them tinted windows because we just used black vinyl to make the simulated windows. Those are the only model that you have to have the simulated windows to make it look like the old cars.
Your bumpers and stuff, can you make your bumpers or do you have one place you have to buy them from?
No, we have people that, like Todd made bumpers for me. You can buy them from M&M Chassis. You can buy them. Many people different make them. I don't know the complete specs on them, but it's in our rules. It's just got to be a certain grade of steel and a certain size. And that's what makes it a lot easier. Mostly all the parts on our car, besides maybe like a motor and stuff, you can build yourself.
Wow.
Well,
as long as
you
stay
go.
Within the rules.
Yeah. They give you the rules on what grade metal you need and all that. And there's the weight rule, obviously. We mm-hmm. have to be at least 1,000 pounds, so you can't go make it out of aluminum and think right. it's going to work or something.
Besides M&M, are there manufacturers out there
on
the West Coast?
That was one of my questions.
Yeah, we got M&M chassis, who I have. Todd, who actually did my skins, is Todd Dameron, is Hot Rod Las Vegas. And there's actually like 4 different Hot Rod shops. He's Hot Rod Shop Las Vegas. I know there's brand new Hot Rod Shop San Jose. We got B&B chassis. You have the Shane Rawson chassis down in California. And Peter D, I know back in the day, built cars for us. He's mostly doing like mod lights and stuff.
Right.
And then Ebling, Gary Ebling used to build cars too.
Wow, there's a lot of people pumping these out.
Yeah,
we had
the Downs cars too, the old Arizona Downs cars.
So over the years, have you seen the dwarfs grow, or through hard times, have you seen them diminish?
What
do you think the status is of the dwarfs today?
I think we're starting to come back. When I was younger, we used to have 20, 24 cars in prompt. I know we don't have that now at all. Western States, we used to have EF mains at nighttime.
Wow.
We'd be up to like 2 o'clock in the morning running because we had just that many cars. We got close to 100 cars so many times in Marysville and Pahrump, and then it seemed like right as I started racing, it kind of died off a little bit. And I think that went with the economy. People couldn't travel and all that. And like the first couple years I was racing, it was kind of good, and it slowly fall. I think 2009 was probably, I went to Vernal, Utah for the last time. We're going back this year. We had 32 cars show up there. We only had like 12 pros. That was my first year running pros. We only had about 12 there. So it was a little disappointing, but like this year we've seen, I went to Santa Maria, we had 60-something cars. I went to Medford, we had 50 up there. And then we went to Marysville for the Nationals and had over 90 cars. And we had a few regionals this year that had 70 cars. So I think it's starting to come back. Pahrump, we've actually starting to come back a little bit. We've had like 10 cars, a couple races here. I know Tonopah, we had 13 for Memorial Day weekend up there. And I went down to Mojave, and we had almost 20 cars down there.
Do you think payouts have anything to do with car count with your division, or is that something that you think?
Some people think if I don't get a good pay, maybe I won't go to that track, and that is true. But, like, most of us that race out in Pahrump, you're not out there to make $1 million. You're not
Wait,
there.
Wait, Gary, you might as well quit.
Wait a second.
You're not there to make the money. I mean, Western States is nice. If you can win the main event, it's $1,000 to win. I would disappear for a week with $1,000.
What's the biggest payout race that you've raced in?
Tonopah. I came from the back with 13 cars and won $237.
That's wow.
Wow.
That bought you entry to the next race.
I actually think I spent it all on clothes because I was back in high school then.
There you go.
Let me ask you this, your most memorable race.
My most memorable race is actually I would have to say Yreka Nationals back in 07 or 08. 08, my first year running full Nationals. I was leading the race, got taken out. First time ever got taken out. I was so pissed. I busted the tunnel in my car and everything. Pounding on the tunnel, was so mad. I came from the back with 19 cars to finish third.
Wow.
I was so happy
wow.
because my dad was surprised. He's like, I thought you were done. Once I see you're pissed, I think you're done. I was actually able to pull out of the infield. I got put in the infield into, they had a barrier wall in the front because they run horse shows in the middle. So I actually went to the pitch, changed a couple parts, came back out there, and went from 19 to 3rd with about only 10 laps left, and that was the happiest I ever was because I'm
wow.
like, I could calm myself and get back in the race.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Do not piss this little girl off while she's racing.
Yeah.
Do not tick her off, because if you do, she's coming from the back to get you.
She's coming back to win. That's how she's going to get you.
And that is the funny part. I know so many times it even makes me more mad when somebody will take me out or somebody will hit me, and they'll go apologize to my dad because they see I'm a little hothead sometimes. They see how mad I am.
They go to dad.
They go apologize.
Well, you know what?
Dad.
They don't want you to kick their butt, is what it is.
So I'm like, really? They're going to come apologize to you? You weren't in the car.
Well, that might make sense. If I saw her, I'd be like, well, let me go apologize to dad, because if she hits me, I can't hit her back.
Yeah, exactly. I go hide.
I can't hit a girl back.
Hey, yeah. How about the nickname Silly Dilly?
Silly actually came about from a Tom and Christy Cottrell, who used to be a big part of Southern Nevada. When I was like 5 running around the tracks and I first met like her son Ryan and all that. I was this little 5-year-old, totally had a crush on all the older guys racing. So I would act like a silly girl. I'd go pick on them. I'd, like, run around, like, move their tools around. And that's their parents gave me the nickname, Silly Dilly, because I was just goofing off all the time messing with them.
That's funny. It sounds like Justin and your guys' pitch right now, huh?
Moving on.
Picking on me.
Moving on.
Yeah, he's fly on the wall, or parts on the wall. Parts on the wall, you mean. Now, that's cool. Speaking of that, this is 2 days before Thanksgiving. We want to make sure we don't forget to tell everybody Thanksgiving and for joining us here at onmovesnow.com, of course, with us, Miss Silly Dilly. 5 years old, is that the earliest you've started out at the track then, just running around? Or
yeah, about five is when my dad started taking me to the track.
Which track? Pahrump?
Pahrump was the first track I ever went to.
Wow, so that's your home track. Huh?
First track you ever raced at?
No, the first track I ever raced at was actually a place called Speed World Speedways, which is down past Surprise, Arizona. It's actually like a speedway park. They have like 10 different tracks there, from an RC track to
drag
strip. Right,
you mentioned this to me.
And
Saturday,
that was
the
first track I ever could run at, because I was 14, and our rule used to be 15 up here, and prompt used to be 15. You can't be in a car until you're 15. So my dad took me out there for the winter series, and we kept going out there and run the winter series out there. And that's where we actually met Kelly Gutches, who's now running all over. He's gone to Tennessee now and is running out there. He used to go out there and spend the whole off season out there, just because they ran practices on Wednesday. Saturday you could go to Canyon Speedway, and Sunday we would go to Speed World. So I started out at Speed World because Canyon you couldn't run. You had to have a driver's license to run at Canyon. So fortunately, I never got to run at Canyon.
You can always. They must be closed now or something.
Well, they closed when I first started for a couple years, I know, but I know they're back running up
now. Wow, that'd be good to go back and just kind of go there and kind of check that off your list.
Your fiercest competitor.
My fiercest competitor, I would have to say my dad. Anytime I got next to my dad, he would not drive me clean. He's like,
oh, really?
Then if we came off the track and he said, you're going to hit me, you're going to walk home, then, like, it wasn't fair. He always ran me. He would run me clean, but I know sometimes, like, especially on cautions, we'd goof around. He would spun me out on a caution before and all that. Like,
that's
but
fun.
He was my fiercest competitor because he didn't want to get beat by me. Because he actually, before he, I would say, retired now, he says, I'll quit once he beats me. Unfortunately, I never got to do that. He quit before I actually got fast enough to beat him. I did beat him a few times. But unfortunately, he didn't finish, so he said that didn't count.
Well, that's why he retired. He knew you were on your way.
So, in other words, he ran you hard.
Yeah.
He would race you hard.
Yeah. And then I would say another person, too, is my good friend, Race Wilson, who he started the sportsman class with me, and he's from Dayton, Nevada. He hasn't been running for the last few years because he actually joined the military, and I think he's in, like, Germany or something now. But he was like my best buddy on the track. We would do the same thing. If we were behind each other on cautions, we'd be bamming each other's bumpers. We got next to each other in a race. Cleanest racing you ever seen. Everybody liked watching us race because we'd always be next to each other. And it would be turn one, I'd be leading. Turn two, he'd be leading. We'd switch back and forth the whole
that's
race.
Exciting.
Yes, it is. Watching those cars, you've seen it, Mike. I mean,
oh, I know.
They
I
put
love
on a hell of a show, man. They put on a heck of a show.
Now,
years ago, I saw them in Mojave.
Oh, yeah.
And
they always put on a good
the
show.
The Ewings and the Cortrells, man, you see them go at it, boy. And they had no problem slicing and dicing.
Now, this past weekend, of course, you raced also.
Yeah.
The Dwarfs raced. Last race of the season for Pahrump Valley Speedway. Of course, you can go to PahrumpValleySpeedway.com and check out their results and point standings, I guess. Where did you finish in points?
Points, I actually don't know.
Okay.
I haven't been following their points because we don't make as many races as like Brett does and stuff. But I did win Southern Nevada Dwarf Car Championship this year.
Oh, you did. Congratulations.
Cool. Thank
you. Cool. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I
That's
won
fantastic.
Our point system this year.
Excellent.
You guys now you guys finished out your point season with JC Motorsports, Gary and Jay. How did you guys finish up?
Like I said, man on a mission. Mission
was
accomplished.
The win. Cool.
JC Motorsports ran 1-2, and Arlie Daniels finished up third this year in points with Vern Hill in fourth. So
that was God speaking.
It was another great season. It was Gary's championship down there. Had a lot of fun, and time to move on.
Cool.
Sue Smotherman, she won her fourth championship down there in Crump in many stocks.
And speaking of Sue, we'll have her in, I believe it's next Tuesday.
Yeah. Make sure you want to
catch
that.
Next Tuesday with Sue Smotherman and her mom, Jerry
Patrick.
Yes.
Jason Pike won championship down there in the modified. Steve Nash, congratulations to him. He wrapped that up. And
Michael Belcher and Coops.
In the Coops.
Congratulations to Mark Dobb, finished second for the first time in Coops.
Who won Dwarfs?
I think Brett Gamble.
Gamble.
Second Dwarfs. Year in a row for Brett Gamble.
Cool.
So, and Bubba Ray in the modified minis, and Chad Broadhead in the hobby stocks.
Yeah, about rounds
so those
out.
Are your, those are your season, champions. Huh? I don't think I missed anybody, did I?
Wow.
Nope.
20, and of course, 22 races for you guys, and they actually had, 23 races because they had a duel.
They had a duel.
But
we
not all
run
classes
that.
Not all
only a couple
just
extra
super
ones,
stocks and mini stocks that run that.
Wow. Yep. And of course, modified. So.
But they were not points races either.
Right.
So,
22 races this year.
Unbelievable.
It? We got every single one of them.
And you guys don't plan on doing full season next year. Time flies here. Of course, keeps.
Question, Cecilia, sponsors. You want to get them out there?
I think I only have one main sponsor. That's my dad's credit card.
Thank you, Visa.
Discover.
My dad, and especially doing ACs, all his side job money. My dad pays my way everywhere I go, and I'm very thankful for that. My dad, he knows I love the sport, and he loves leaving Vegas.
Wow. He's an AC guy right here in Henderson, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Very good. I might have to remember that.
Yeah, if anything breaks.
We got somebody. We only got a couple minutes, so I'm going to make it pretty quick. Who do we have on the phone? Oh, you have to speak up. We can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, we hear you. Who is this?
This is Dustin Chastain.
Dustin, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
You got a question for Miss Silly Dilly here?
No, I was giving her a heads up. She finished third.
Okay. Third place. That's not bad.
Not too bad.
Appreciate it.
So then I finished fourth, 30 points behind Alex. So.
Dustin Chastain, you drive the number 88 West Coast Superstock and spent a lot of time down here and also up in Tonopah, didn't you?
Yeah, I ran all over the place this year.
Cool. Hey, sorry again, we don't mean to cut you short. There is only a couple minutes left here, but please make sure you catch next week's show. We're going to have Susan Smotherman on, and of course, her mother is going to be on next Tuesday, and we'll give you some more time if you want to call in then also. But appreciate you calling in and updating us on Miss Silly Dilly's points, and we want to hear more about your team, too, and what you're going to be doing next year. So appreciate you calling in.
We'll have to get Dustin in here sometime.
Sounds
it's
good.
Hard. I live all in Tonopah.
Oh, hey, we'll do it by phone. That's fine. So, appreciate you calling in. We really do appreciate it, man.
All right, but I'll call in next week. Guys.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Happy Turkey Day.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too.
Wow, cool deal. It's always good to have fellow racers keeping us on track here. So.
He came out with a new car this year, and he wasn't kidding talking about running everywhere. He traveled quite a bit.
That's a tough division there. Them guys really get flying in that super stock class. They call it super stock, or
right,
they call it
super
street
stocks.
Okay. Depending on what track you go to, they call them street stocks, super stocks. But, man, them things really fly. They got something going for them. But real quick, too, you want to keep up to date on the latest local racing. You can call in, of course, to our show, but you can also go to thebombernation.com website. That's www.thebombernation.com. Click on the message boards.
There's also a classified section where you can see what's for sale if you want to sell something for next year. Of course, this is the time of season JJ does not like for different reasons than Gary doesn't like it. JJ don't like it because there's nothing to talk about in December.
can we put Justin up for sale? On there?
For sale.
Once again, you're going to cost us money. You're going to have to pay someone to take him.
You know, like you were saying, your dad pretty much funded a lot of your racing and your racing career, and that's important that, you know, families get involved in, you know, in any form of racing. If you're a sponsor out there, a business that want to sponsor a race car, there's nothing better than auto racing. Of course, dwarf car racing is something that you have to go check out. Check out your local track. If you haven't gone to Pahrump Valley Speedway, go there. Look for Silly Dilly's car if you want to sponsor her team. She's always up front. She'll definitely get your business noticed.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Get on them cars.
And in Pahrump, we're not sure on the date yet, but either the second week in March or the last weekend in March, we're actually going to try to do a money race to get all the dwarf cars down to Pahrump before everybody's season usually starts in April. So we want to try to see if we can get everybody's like first race to come down to Pahrump so we can have a good car count out there.
All right.
What was the Facebook page again, if they wanted to, is that where it would be posted?
Pahrump's website should actually post it because we should know after this Reno meeting, Mojave's schedule, because Mojave's going to be in March. So we're seeing what weekend they are, and we're going to do the opposite weekend as them. And so Pahrump probably the first website that puts it on. And, of course, Facebook, if you follow me or Southern Nevada Dwarf Cars, or the whole bunch of the dwarf cars, it'll be blasted all over Facebook.
Cool. You'll have to keep us updated. So
yeah.
Of what weekend it is.
Of course, like Gary's stuff goes into my spam folder, so I got to check my spam folder to see if he emailed me anything. But you can email us. You can email Mike at onwheelsnow.com. If you guys have any questions and don't want to be on the show, we'll get your question posted either on Gary's Facebook. No.
You can find me on MySpace.
MySpace, JJ at MySpace. Yeah.
I recommend calling Mike at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Of course, next week we have a guest from Pahrump Valley Speedway, of course, Miss Susan Smotherman.
Four-time champion in the mini stocks.
And 7-time SCORE champion, Jerry Patrick.
That's right. Want to hear more about that? I know off-road racing is a whole different ball of wax that none of us, I don't think, are used to, so it's going to be fun to hear about that. Of course, fly on the wall, Mr. Justin Griffiths, thanks for sitting in and keeping that seat warm for JJ. You want to say hello real quick? Anything? Huh? How'd you finish this past race? Did you race? Let's talk about where did Justin finish in?
He got a right rear flat tire.
Did he have brakes? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. And they didn't look like that.
How come the tire's not on this wall?
Justin had a good run going and unfortunately got tangled up, lost a right rear tire, finished up 8th place. So
that's a nice way to put it. Got tangled up.
He did.
Who did the tangling?
He got tangled up with Harley.
I heard you guys had a good car count, too, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Building up.
Thanks, Jason Sullins. He came down to run, and he didn't fare that well, brought out 2 yellow flags, and then sent off the track for bringing out 2 yellows.
Well, he needs to spend more time down at the track to kind of get used to running on the dirt. I know Justin picked it up pretty quick, but
Yeah,
there you go.
He was out with us last year with his Uncle Martin, and he had a blast. And I was surprised he didn't make it down more this year. You know, we were opposite the bull ring. He usually runs the bull ring. But I'm glad he made the last race. So.
No, cool. Hey, appreciate you being here. I know, it's an hour out of your life, and we appreciate you taking that time.
It's an hour you'll never get back.
You'll never get it back.
It's the off season, so I got plenty of hours.
Dad's working on the car, so no. Appreciate you being here with us, Mr. Silly Dilly. We're looking forward to watching some more dwarf car racing with you. Thanks for joining us here. We'll see you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. live at
OnWheels.com. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody that's listening.
Look for Gary's Facebook page.
Yes.
All right, thanks. We'll see you next Tuesday at 6 p.m.
here at dogmovenow.com.
Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.